We're all virtually limitless.
This podcast is to provide a space for people to grow,
to rise,
and build.
This is for the people that are ready to step up and make moves,
no matter where they came from.
Welcome to the podcast.
Virtually limitless. This life we live, we get to choose. We can make excuses or make moves.
It's up to you.
Yeah, your network is your network.
So find your tribe or build it.
There's some change about to happen. I can feel it. Oh, this life we were given it. So take advantage, start living
it. I'm on a mission, new beginnings to start living.
Yeah, virtually limitless.
You are tuning in to another episode of.
This is another episode of Virtually Limitless.
What's going on, Virtually Limitless entrepreneurs? It's your man here, Trey Carmichael, coming at you with another episode of the Virtually Limitless podcast. And today I'm coming at you with my man, Nicholas Bailey, the CEO of the Billion Dollar Body. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do and why you do it for the people who don't know you, my man?
For sure, dude. So first off, I want to say thank you for creating a space like this. I was 60 pounds overweight. And at the time, there was not a YouTube video, a podcast. I didn't get targeted by something on the internet that all of a sudden was like, oh my gosh, like that's what I need to do to be able to change my situation. And my life was still transformed for the negative in one moment, which was through a falling out with my dad that I'll probably talk about. But it's also changed for the positive that helped me lose the weight, build the business in just one moment. So my goal today is to use your platform to create those moments for the people that are listening. So I just want to say I appreciate that. For the people that are listening, the only way we can create those moments is if we stay to the very end. So my promise is to give like everything I possibly can on this podcast. Yet also at the same time, like with the participation, we can create those moments that change everything forever. Because all change, this is something that everyone can write down, all change happens in a moment. It just depends how long it takes for that moment to happen. Think about it. When someone wants to lose weight, it happens in a moment. All of a sudden, there's something that just shifts and all of a sudden they start doing it. If someone wants to build a business and they go all in, like, it may take years, but all of a sudden the change just happens in one moment. All change happens in a moment, and we're going to create those. So for me, man, I was a kid who grew up in a pretty regular home, but my parents broke up when I was 4, wrote my first suicide letter when I was 7. My parents were fighting and I just felt like it was all my fault. They would never have talked to each other if it wasn't for me. So while my dad's paying child support, I thought my mom was getting paid for my dad to see me. And when I was with my mom hated my dad. So I felt this tension of, I need to hate my dad when I'm with my mom, and I need to hate my mom when I'm with my dad. That never builds any type of great connection or satisfaction, because I can't even be myself when I'm with my family. This turned into a lot of different feelings. Like, I had massive anxiety in 3rd grade. I could hardly go to school. I had such bad anxiety that I had diarrhea every single day, where I'd literally have to go to the bathroom for 20 minutes at a time. And of course, everyone thought that I was trying to ditch or do something like that. So I was like, felt immense pressure, because all of a sudden the teacher would come down and start knocking on the door, and that would give me more anxiety, because I'm like, I don't want my life to be this way. But throughout that time, I wanted to be a professional athlete, which is actually interesting, because as a business owner, it's difficult to have the professional athlete mentality, meaning the athlete is the technician. It's the person that's great at what they do, and they get paid based on the results that they create in the sport that they play. And I actually brought that over into my business world, thinking that if I just create the best product, if I just am the best at what I do, if I just have the best service and I'm the person that's like the best at it, then the business should grow. And ultimately, I found out that the best products and the best services and the best people aren't the ones that are always sold. It's the products and services that are best marketed. And hopefully after that, they're the very best at what they do. Yet the best products are the ones that you have not seen in market. The best speakers are the ones that you've never seen on stage. And the best people at everything that they do are the people that you do not see inside the business world, because they just are not marketed to be seen for the value that they have. So for me, at 20 years old, I remember after losing the weight, having that one defining moment, which was simply a kid who brought fruit to school and shared with me that he was on a meal plan because he was a boxer and he needed to weigh in at the correct weight. I left there and I was like, I'm just going to eat the same things as this guy. I lost 60 pounds in 6 months, never going to the gym, just because I saw someone who was leading by example and I asked for help. And he showed me what to do. And I literally just took it word for word. And I went out there and did it. Rather than listening to 50 podcasts trying to figure out if this is the right thing for me, I literally just took it as if it was truth, as if it was gospel. And I took action on it and I lost 60 pounds. And during that time, though, it gave me the confidence to go out there and meet women again and meet to connect with my dad again, which I hadn't talked to in 3.5 years. And inside of that, I got married at 20. And now I've been married for almost 9 years. My son's 1 year old. And so at 20 years old, my wife was 18. And I quickly found that I had this new thing called responsibilities, the whole like men provide for the home. And I was ultimately, for me, it was like, we didn't even think about it that way. We're just like, hey, we need to be able to pay our bills and be able to actually live on our own. What's the best way we could do that? And we thought, create a business. This should be easy. So again, I tried to be a barista, the best coffee maker in the world. I spent $4,000 on coffee equipment, all of our savings that we had after our wedding. And ultimately, I was not making money at it. I was really, really good at it. I then had to sell that. And we actually went in network marketing first. And I thought we were going to be retired. I told everyone, I'm retired. I have residual income coming in. The business actually collapsed. The full business, the big business collapsed. And we lost everything. And that sent me into a dark period that every entrepreneur goes through at some point, which is I cleaned carpets for 2.5 years. I made $19,000 year one. Year two, I made $21,000. And throughout that process, we could not get one business off the ground. Everything that we wanted to get away from, like working apart, not being able to see each other, we fell into. My wife was working part-time at a massage department. I was working as a carpet cleaner. And she was interning for a health coach so that we could try to take my story of losing 60 pounds and her story of being affected by health from me and actually go out there and create a product or service around it. And we really couldn't do it. We didn't make more than $3,000 for 3 years. It was really, really difficult. And throughout the process of doing a few small tweaks that ended up being very, very different than maybe we get into, we actually launched out from one change. So interesting how change happens in an instant. One change, we left there, and from never doing more than $2,000-$3,000 in a month sales, which is literally we made no money, we went out there and we did over $20,000 in just 1 month. I went and quit my carpet cleaning job with my father, and I told him I couldn't come back. And we have not had a not profitable month since then. We went from helping men and women with health to helping men who own businesses in health to launching what we now call the Brotherhood, which our goal is to redefine what it means to be a businessman, to change the dictionary definition that you cannot be called a businessman without prospering in health, wealth, and relationships. I bring in the very best people in the world. I've spoken on the same stages as people like Tony Robbins, all these crazy things now. And we've now generated millions of dollars in sales all from that one moment of that shift. And now I lead a movement called the Brotherhood, where we have men that own businesses that are all here that don't want to sacrifice their personal life. And now I'm here on this show willing to share everything that I can to help other people succeed as well.
That's incredible, man. So I do got to ask, I mean, you kept mentioning the one change, but you didn't really go into it. What was the one change that you really made?
Yeah. And when I say one change, it's there's these simple little things that happen. Yeah. All these things have to happen to create that one moment. So for me, I had great mentors around. I had great people that were older than me, that knew more than me, that were further along than me. Yet for some reason, I was still all alone. And what I found through this journey of writing my best-selling book, Modern Day Businessman, that people can grab it for free. I have like a digital copy. They grab it, nicholasbailey.com/ebook, just in case they hear it and they go to Amazon, they buy it. You can go ahead, yet you can get it for free as well. So inside of that, I realized that for as men, the number one killer of men's success is seclusion. And right now we're in a time of the world where seclusion is celebrated, which is very, very scary. Seclusion is usually found in two different forms. As men, we go into seclusion for two reasons, and we ask for help for two reasons. Number one, these are dramatic opposites, and the goal is to put bumper rails on each side of this. Like if you're bowling, it's like you never go into the gutter. You at least knock down some pins. Number one is the person that feels like they have to be all perfect to be able to have community. Because ultimately, one of the biggest common needs as a human is having community and tribe. So inside of this, if you feel like you can only have community and tribe, if you're perfect, meaning your business is going amazing, your health's going amazing, you're on top of everything, everything's tidied up and put together, and now you can get into community, what ends up happening is they've used all their willpower to get to this point of perfection that can only last for a few days, maybe a few weeks if they're delusional. And ultimately, they get into community, something goes wrong, and they blame it on the fact. They go, cause and effect. I got into community. This has now happened. I need to leave this community, leave those people that have been helping me to be able to go figure all this stuff out. The problem with that is the day may never come. I know people that have maybe gotten divorced that literally sit all alone in seclusion, waiting for life to go back to normal, to feel better, to build the business again, all these different things. and it may be 5 years, 10 years down the road, and they still have not gotten the help, the community, and the support in order to get out of their situation, and they're still trying to be perfect. The second type is almost like the Titanic. If you notice with the Titanic, there was rescue boats coming as soon as they hit the block of ice, right? The iceberg. There was already people coming for them. So that when they actually got in the water, there was boats looking for the people that were alive. They were still late, yet there were still people alive. That's why we know of the story. Now imagine if they didn't call for help until they were in the water. They would be screwed. Other men wait until literally they're at their last breath. Everything's already failing and they finally call out for help. Maybe for you, man, you've had this happen with someone saying, I need your help. I need your help. I'm in a dire situation. I need your help. And you're like, hey, you need to chill out. Like let's talk about this, but they have no time to talk because they're already out of breath. They're like, I need help. I need help. And then what happens is as soon as they get back to stability, they leave community. Not only that is that no one can help them in the moment. So they think all these people, they don't help anyway because they're in such dire anxiety that can't be helped. So what does that mean for me? There was a few different things that I felt like I had. I had the story. I had products. They weren't selling. I had mentors, people that could tell me what to do. But the thing that I was missing the most was the people that I run with. That's why I created the Brotherhood. It's all about like, it's kind of like this lions in Africa. There's a place called the Congo, second or third largest rainforest, but the most deadly. Inside of the Congo, the biggest, craziest predator is actually the hippo. I don't know if you've seen these things, but they actually can charge like 30 miles per hour underwater. Like they rip things apart. They are not cute. They're not cuddly, hungry hippos. It's all BS. They're insane. Nothing hunts the hippo in the Congo. Yet they found that there's one pride of lions that because of their environment and because of the other lions around them have been able to survive in the Congo. These lions are 150 pounds heavier than the average lion out there. So there are other communities of lions that are just in low pressure environments. And because of that, they're 150 pounds less heavy. These lions are 150 pounds heavier on average. They swim. Cats hate water. They swim like crazy. They literally climb trees to scope out and hunt predators. And they're the only pride of lions in the world that hunt hippos. Notice that even if there was someone who's amazing, who can do everything on their own, 750 pound lion, they still couldn't take on a hippo. Yet because of this pride of lions, because they put themselves in an environment that gets them to level up, right? It's high pressure, but it's high accountability. They've had to level up because of their environment, because they have their pride of lions that are pushing them together, that allow them to survive together. They're now able to do things that other people can't do. For me, I feel like I had a hippo-sized dream, and the men we work with, we had a hippo-sized dream in our life. And even if we were amazing on our own, we'd never be able to achieve it. But together inside of community, that's where I found my breakthrough. I invested in my first mastermind. I went to this meeting. I didn't want to go to it. And inside of it, I found people that were further along than me, people that I could run with, people that encouraged me, and people that saw something inside of me that I did not see. I was so encouraged leaving there. That's where we had our first $20,000 month, which means that we already pretty much had it inside of us. We just didn't know it. And what I found is that people are like gold. Gold is valuable as it's refined, but unrefined gold has the same amount of gold in it as refined gold, same amount of gold, just one's refined and the other one's not. And that community helps refine the gold that's inside of people so that they can be valuable in the marketplace, yet it's the same amount of gold that they always had. Not new gold was injected. That's what I was missing. And now that's what we provide for businessmen all over the world.
Awesome, man. I love that. And community's really... having that community is one of the most valuable things you're ever going to have. I mean, people say your network is your net worth for a reason.
100%. Yeah. What do people do? Do they actually take action on it? Right. A wise man learns from his mistakes, but an even wiser man learns from the mistakes of others. What I found is that common knowledge isn't always common practice. What I notice as well is that LeBron James, Michael Jordan, what do? They practice free throws, passes, three-pointers, rebounds, the easiest things in the book. And they practice them with repetition over and over again. See, the snowboarder that's pro at the sport has failed and fallen on more simple 360s than most people have ever tried in their life. While everyone else is trying to look for the simple, quick trick fix and all these different things, all the pros out there are learning marketing, communication, sales, putting in the repetition on the simple things of leadership that actually create results. It's sad to say that the simple things are what actually get people paid. But what's common knowledge isn't always common practice. It's one thing to know something. It's another thing to master it. And that's what I would challenge everyone to do.
Absolutely, man. So you've been through a lot of ups and downs. Like you had it to where you were 60 pounds overweight. Things weren't quite going like you wanted to in business. How did you build up the confidence to start taking these leaps at that point?
Yeah, that's a great question. So like you said, 20 years old, I get married with no job. I then joined network marketing after driving my wife and I into debt trying to build a coffee business that literally made no money. Went in network marketing and we failed. I was living in San Diego. I was managing a property, meaning like a couple townhomes. I got lucky that I was able to manage the property, meaning I would like make sure people got rent and things were rented out. And they ended up saying that they were going to remodel and they didn't need me to manage. I was not making enough money to be able to afford to live there. So I got kicked out of that place. I tried to live in the back of a halfway home. I was making about $750 a month. I tried to live in the back of a halfway home, meaning a place where kids could go if they had bad abusive families to be able to recover and get back on their feet. I was like the only person that was that broke that didn't have a felony. At least that's what they told me. And I was trying to live in the back of that. There was a small little house in the back. I had enough for $600 a month in rent. That was stretching it. We didn't get approved. The state denied us. I then had to move into a one-bedroom apartment, 400 square feet, with my wife and I. And that's where I had to go back and, again, clean carpets. Dude, I've had setback after setback. The first place we lived together was affordable housing. We had termite mounds inside of our house. So imagine having to use a vacuum to clean up these mounds of dirt inside of our house that were all against the walls because we had mounds of bugs and dirt, like getting your lungs infected by the fact that there was mold inside of your swamp cooler because you didn't even have an AC. So this is what it took, right? It took 110 degree weather. We had no AC in our one bedroom apartment. It was over 100 degrees during the summer every single day. I lived right next to the mailbox and the trash can. So everyone who got their mail was right next to my bedroom window, literally 3 foot away. They could see right into my bedroom. The second thing is I had flies, 30 sometimes at a time, flying in my house because we were right next to the dumpster that hardly got taken out. And we had to build our business out of that place. We had to build our business out of me carpet cleaning every single day, leaving that one bedroom apartment and having to go out there and network at night. So how does someone who has a $25 a week eating out budget between two people, how does someone who has a $75 a week food budget between two people, so that's almost $40 each per week to be able to eat food, someone who cannot afford a haircut, but every couple months couldn't afford a haircut, didn't use any product, couldn't afford product. We shared a razor. Like I couldn't even shave my face with my own razor. How does someone like that show up to a business networking event and actually be confident? For a long time, I struggled with this. If you're the five people you surround yourself with, why would anyone want me as an anchor who's making $1,200-$1,500 a month failing in life? Why would anyone want that around them? I almost felt bad. So, oh, great. I'll have those five people help me, but like I'm not helping them. So one day I asked myself, how could I show up to podcasts or speaking engagements? Now I've spoken to over 5,000 people at one time. How could I show up to events like that with confidence? Because like I need to see the results before I have them. But I can't create the results unless I have the confidence. So what the hell, how do I do this? There's two different types of identity. There's one, personal identity, which is what you believe about yourself. And number two is earned identity, right? When I made my first $1 million, now no one could ever say that I didn't do that. It's an earned identity. If you win the Super Bowl, you're now a Super Bowl champion. Whether you're a loser after that does not matter. It's an earned identity. If you're a Navy SEAL, you're now a Navy SEAL. End of story. Earned identity. So there's personal identity and earned identity. One thing one of my Navy SEAL mentors taught me is that your why, which is what most people teach, doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter as much as your identity. Think about it. People that want to be successful, let's just say people that have lung cancer and they smoke cigarettes, they have every reason to quit smoking cigarettes, their family, their loved ones. They don't want to give up on themselves. They want to live life. Yet they can't seem to pull themselves to do it. A big enough why. They have a huge why. Yet because their identity is one of a smoker, they continue to be a smoker. Your identity is more important than your why. Everyone has a why. But for some reason, why are they not going after it? A why is important, but not as important as your identity. So ultimately what I did, I remember it being maybe 2016. I was just starting to have these like big breaks and starting to see some success right before it. I sat down on the ground and I used this practice that we now take our men through at our retreats. I just had one here in Texas, actually, with 40 guys and still in person. All these guys flew out. We had 30 acres. It was amazing. And we sit there and you lay on the ground, you put on music, doesn't matter which kind. And you say to yourself, I will not leave this place until I get a glimpse of my future and where I'm going. See, there's a reason why there's a term called hire early. There's people that hire early, meaning they haven't had the success yet, but they hire someone before they're ready for it. How can you do that? With a thing called vision. If you know where you're going, it's easy to make decisions today. Whereas if you make decisions based on today, your confidence level today, the success of today, you'll never get to where you want to go because you'll never make a decision bigger or more confidently than what you have today, which you, what today is probably not good enough. So ultimately what I did is I laid there and I started thinking about 5, 10, 15, 20 years in the future. And I started dreaming up what life would be like. See, a goal or a dream that has not been emotionalized or a goal that has not been emotionalized is just a wish. Meaning that if I were to take you through an exercise of picturing a lemon in your hand and cutting it open and smelling and tasting it, everyone here would have their mouth water. You can go YouTube it for the sake of time. There is no lemon, but your mouth waters. You have a physical response to the things in your mind, meaning that literally actually real life is actually just in your mind. Like what's in front of you just confirms it, makes you feel better about it. But ultimately what you see in your mind is what reality is. Many times people perceive things the wrong way. That's not reality. It's what you perceived reality to be. You thought someone said something rude to you, even though they didn't mean it. But to you, that's what they said. And that's the feeling that you get. People can write this down. First, you have a thought, and then it turns into an emotion, and then it turns into a feeling. And if you have that feeling enough, it turns into a belief. But it all starts with first a thought that turns into an emotion. And for negative ones, you can actually catch it when it's still a thought before it becomes an emotion, a feeling, and then ultimately a belief. So I sit there on the carpet. I start emotionalizing. Who am I going to be in 20 years? I literally could see it clearly. I was like, oh my gosh, I know how I'm going to feel. I know what I'm going to do. I know what type of success I'm going to have. I don't know what type of stuff I have. I don't know about freaking flying car, none of that crap. Yeah, I got a taste of what life would be like in 20 years. And all of a sudden, I had this confidence that I knew where I was going. So ultimately, knowing where you're going and emotionalizing it, attaching it, you almost know the beginning from the end. The only other way I could put this is imagine if you go 10 years into the past right now. Boom. We're 10 years into the past. Knowing what you know now, would you be more successful if you went through this last 10 years again? Absolutely. No one would say no. Maybe 20 years. Dude, I'd be freaking like 8 years old. You know how badass I'd be as an 8 year old if I knew all the things I'm saying right now? Could you imagine me getting on podcasts as an 8 year old talking like I'm talking now? I'd freaking crush it. I'd know exactly how life's going to be. I wouldn't be worried. I already know how things are going to go. That's the same thing that you can create if you can see what your future is going to be like. Now, when I started going to those networking events, instead of saying what some people would say, have your future self, your best self mentor you. Nah, dude, I switched places. I said, I know who that guy is. What if I was that guy today? And what I noticed is that most people in life allow their external environment, their success, their house, their car, to dictate who they are. The problem with that is that if your environment never changed, neither will you. Instead of allowing their internal world, what they think about themselves, their life, to change their external world, I started having a new belief for who I was, and my life around me started shifting. See, if you take a pauper and you put him into a king's spot and ruling a kingdom, he'll reduce it to rubble because ultimately his identity is one of a pauper. But if you take a king, strip him of everything and put him on the streets, he'll always rise up to run a kingdom again because he's a king and that's his identity. He knows who he is. He knows where he's going. If you strip Warren Buffett of everything that he has, he will not be worried because he is Warren Buffett. And he knows who he is. He knows what he's doing. He will not allow his circumstance to dictate who he is. And if you do that as well, you can walk up with confidence on a podcast. If knowing where I was going, I got on this podcast, how would I speak if I already had accomplished it? I'd come up with confidence, dude, because I already know where I'm going. How would I feel in a sales conversation if someone doesn't buy from me? I don't care because I already know where I'm going. The next one will because I already seen the beginning from the end. And that's where I got my true confidence, is from where I'm going, the identity that I have, and I'm shifting my external environment until it matches up with what I believe.
I love that, man, and I resonate with that at a high level, because what actually helped me get my confidence was establishing a defining statement and getting clear on my core values. And then from there, I was able to start visualizing what that would look like in the future if I maintained those core values and I maintained that defining statement and like just who I would become. So I had a very similar process. So I really love that answer, man. So my next question is going to be, you went from being 60 pounds overweight, you talked to a guy at the gym, you implemented exactly what he told you, and you just kept doing it. So if anybody's listening, I'm sure, as you know, like a lot of business owners, a lot of entrepreneurs, they get so sucked up into the business. They get so sucked into what they're building that they tend to neglect their health, and a lot of them get overweight. I know that I was, and I still am. I'm working down right now. But what are the things that you wish you would have known that you could have implemented when maybe you didn't have the amount of time that you have?
Yeah, get your ass into the Brotherhood. Billion-dollar Brotherhood on Facebook. That's a guy. Join the freaking group. Join the club. We have 100+ guys that are all inside of the club that literally you can't not do it. Like, if you're around people that aren't pushing themselves, you're not going to push yourself. It's proven that you're going to be plus or minus 10% wealth, fitness, relationship of the people you surround yourself with, as long as you haven't just recently changed your friend group. So if that to be true, well, then what are your friends like? I'd love to see them. I know exactly what it would be like. That was the first thing that I was missing. People around me allowed mediocrity. I had no accountability. As men, we flow and we thrive inside of tribe. We can't push ourselves. This is why freaking quarantine and stuff. The only people that are crushing it in quarantine are extreme introverts. That's it. They're like, oh, finally, I have time to work out because all these people aren't talking to me finally. I'm not a full-on introvert. I push myself. Think about athletics. Do you think that athletics would be where it's at today if there wasn't competition? If there wasn't people defining new limits and saying, hey, I was able to run a mile in 4 minutes. Everyone goes, that's impossible. Now kids in high school run a 4 minute mile because someone went out there and they did it first. And other people said, hey, if they did it, I'm going to do it as well. And the accountability of each one pushing each other, dude, that's where it takes place. You know, going through quarantine and this whole pandemic and epidemic or none of the above, because the numbers don't fit that, but whatever you want to call it, gyms were shut down. And there was a period I just had my son and I just felt like not motivated. I didn't like going to the gym. I didn't like the workouts that I had. I didn't like the way that the flow of the gym was set up. I didn't like working out from home. I didn't like leaving my family, et cetera. And I realized again, I thought I was in a moment again where I just couldn't ever see myself being in the best shape that I've ever been in. It's like, maybe I'm just getting older. Maybe I just don't have the motivation or the edge anymore. Like I have to sacrifice too much. And ultimately it was a lie that I was telling myself. I just went to my last event with 40 other guys. And each day Navy SEALs let us in workouts. We had meals prepared for us, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We got out of our normal environment. And since leaving there, dude, we've had guys lose hundreds of pounds so far combined just from that one event, because just for 3 days, they were outside of their normal environment. They started a new habit, and leaving there, we can't even imagine eating an unhealthy meal over eating a healthy meal. One of the things that I will say, though, that I think is common when it comes to health as a business owner is we get taught a lot of times to have a cheat meal, right? Like in a week, have a cheat meal. Here's the difference. There's people that clock in, clock out of jobs, and they run a normal life. That's awesome. As a business owner, dude, we deal with obsession. Like I get obsessed with certain things. I need to be the best at it. I do them freaking 15 hours a day. I can't stop thinking about it. That's the type of person I am. Whatever you think about, you gravitate towards. Oftentimes they think, oh, I want a donut or ice cream in a week. And so they always think about the donut or ice cream. As a business owner, dude, your thoughts are so freaking strong that you'll literally build an obsession for bad food where you physically can't even not do it. Instead, build an obsession for how good you feel when you're eating well. Build an obsession with how good you feel when you're in momentum. and allow those other things to be a forethought, an afterthought. Oh, great. Like I go eat whatever I want because I'm freaking shredded. And that's the difference, man. When I've tried to do all these things that everyone else has told me to take it easy, live a balanced life. It doesn't work, man. Like when I want to work out every single day, I work out every single day. End of story. If I want to move every day, dude, when you're passionate about it, it comes easy. And that all starts first with an identity, right? The identity shift that I am fit. I am healthy. So often people go through life and they think they can't do it. Why? Because they're allowing where they're at to make their decisions. I guarantee you, we have guys that are 50 pounds, 60 pounds overweight that have never lost weight before. Ask our Navy SEAL that were there. I'm going to take off my shirt. This is what they did. They took off their shirt and they said, you're going to tell me, what do you think I can do? And it was so funny. He goes, 90 days, you'll be at 10% body fat. And they said, just tell me what to do and I'll do it. You'll see the stories come out. They've never been able to do it. They thought, I'm big bone. I gain fat easier than other people. Maybe. We'll see. We've helped men lose almost 20,000 pounds at this point. So it seems like the results are on our side. And as a business owner, I believe it's important to immerse yourself in a community where health is valuable. Because if other men that you look up to are sacrificing their health to build a business, that becomes the new rut that everyone falls into because everyone looks up to them. Same way with drugs, same way with abuse of alcohol, same way with people being rude. Yet if you see a piece of their life that is setting boundaries around their health, all of a sudden you'll do the same exact thing. Plus or minus 10% of the people you're around. Show me your friends. I'll show you your future.
Beautiful, man. And I love that answer. So as a high performer yourself and surrounding yourself with so many high performers, what are a few of the things that you've learned and implemented that helped you get more energy? Because obviously that's one of the most important things as an entrepreneur.
So yeah, that's a really great question. So on the high level thing, vision is the most important energy. They even in the Holocaust, people literally used to be alive in the worst conditions just based on the vision or the hope that they had that they'd see a family member. They've reported that as soon as they heard a family member died, meaning they lost hope or they lost that vision, they would quickly die in the average of 3 days after living just based on that hope and that vision. So number one is that hope and that vision, which is difficult sometimes. Sometimes it takes discipline, right? Like, I always say in relationships, to put it short, the commitment that you have inside of your intimate relationship, my relationship with my wife, allows us to go through conflict, right? Because if we didn't have any commitment, we'd be afraid to have conflict because that would mean that one of us would maybe leave each other. But because we know we're not going to leave each other, we have commitment, we can get through that conflict. And with greater understanding is the only way you can have greater love. It's proven. You cannot have greater love for something without understanding it more. So through conflict, you get to know someone more. And on the other side of it, you actually fall deeper in love. Most people never get through conflict because they don't have any commitment. Inside of business, it's similar. There are times where you're working and you lose sight of the vision, and it's time to be consistent on the things that you committed to, because on the other side of that is creating more results. Those results create a feeling where you then can make a new commitment. Yet oftentimes we don't do the things that we know are necessary when we don't feel like it. So because of that, we don't create results, which means that we continue to feel like crap because we haven't made the money we want or had the result that we want. And so then we end up lackadaisically working and being kind of half-assing things. So ultimately, have the vision and have commitment that brings you through to the other side. The other thing, dude, is a lot of the friends that I have that grow big businesses, they don't sacrifice their sleep whatsoever. They don't abuse things like caffeine for long amounts of time. They consistently work out and breathe and eat healthy food every single day and put a support system around it every single day. I have people in my head right now that I'm thinking of that create this. They consistently are seeking out ways that they can be a high performer by not doing the core things that people think they do. Here's what's interesting is that we only get to see small, scarce parts of people's lives. We see their Instagram posts. We see like what they're like on Insta stories for a few moments, yet we don't see what they do behind closed doors. I've had the pleasure and the honor of being able to follow and connect with and be mentored by these Navy SEALs and $100+ million business owners. I have one friend that runs a $100 million company that we talk pretty much every single day. And inside of that, I found that, man, they're just normal people. They're normal people that make not normal decisions, and they struggle with the same exact normal things as every single other person. So some of the things, again, that I would say is that I personally do, because I kind of talked about what some of these other guys are doing, and that's amazing. But me personally, I have this thing called 5 physical attributes of health. Number one is breathing. If you don't breathe for 5 minutes, you die. Maybe 10 if you're amazing. Meaning that if it can cause a negative effect, it causes a positive one. So look up Tony Robbins' priming breath, Wim Hof's breathing, guided breathing meditation, and box breathing. You could try all three. Box breathing, you could do all throughout the day. Wim Hof, you can do it in a short sprint. And Tony Robbins' priming breath, same thing. It's like something that is kind of visual as well. It could be very helpful for you. Second is hydration. If you don't hydrate, you die. If you don't have water, you die faster than if you don't eat food. If it can happen for the negative fast, it can also cause a positive effect fast. General rule of thumb, maybe try to hit a gallon of water every single day, or maybe 20 to 30 ounces right when you wake up, and 8 ounces every hour of the day. Because if you don't have sufficient amount of water, you're not going to be able to have sufficient function of everything. Meaning, if you don't eat food, you're not going to be a bodybuilder, but you may be able to stay alive. You just won't build muscle. Why? Because your body won't use the calories to build extra muscle over keeping your body alive. If you don't have enough water, you'll stay alive. You just won't work optimally. Number three is sleep. Dude, if you don't sleep well for like 3 days, you go into a pre-diabetic state. It's terrible. If you don't sleep for multiple days, dude, your brain goes insane. You detox in your brain while you sleep. People literally go insane if they don't sleep. Then number four is nutrition. I try to eat well-balanced meals of carbs, protein, fat. Well-balanced meals, easy to digest, to keep it simple. And the last thing is working out, movement. That's the last thing. The people that live the longest, they walk every single day. I don't care where you start, take 30 minutes and just walk every single day or do a high intensity workout. If you do things in that order with that, exactly what I just prescribed, you will have more energy. End of story. It doesn't take a pill. It's not an extra thing. Maybe drink a cup of coffee if you want. Ultimately, those are just tools to use for short times, but if they're abused, they become detrimental.
Absolutely, man. So you mentioned in one of your first answers that the people that are usually the best in their field usually aren't really in front of the masses. They're not really getting in front of as many people as you want to, and most people haven't even heard of them. At this point, you've gotten to the point where you've got over 70,000 Instagram followers. You've popped up on Forbes. You've shared the stage with some of the most incredible people in the world. How were you able to go from not really being heard of to being sort of in the mass market?
Dude, that's a great question. And it's a hard one to answer. The biggest thing has been consistency, by far. Belief in consistency. Because of the last 10 years of work that I've put in, let's take Clubhouse as an app. Clubhouse is basically you have moderators, speakers, and attendees, people that are followed by the speakers, and you have people that are just the general listeners. Let's say there's a room of 1,700 people. Because of what I've done over the last 10 years, a brand new platform like that, if I was brand new again, I jumped in there, no one would ask me to speak, which means it'd be very hard to build the following, very hard to get opportunities. Now, if I jump into a room, people want me to speak and talk about stuff because of the last 10 years of consistency. So now I get invited up and I may get 100 followers or a couple hundred followers from that if I were to jump up and speak about something because I'm really good at what I do. Yet that's unfair because the person who's amazing, who just started, no one knows who they are. So they just don't get the opportunity to speak. Some would say it's unfair, but it's actually totally fair because of the last 10 years that I've built a foundation. And so ultimately, I would say that the biggest thing has been like knowing what you can do, putting yourself in the environments to actually get the opportunities. And second is the consistency is that I just have been here for 10 years, consistently doing this day after day after day after day. Yet, like you said, when I was first starting out in health, I had lost 60 pounds. I was too scared to tell my story. If people go on YouTube and type in Nicholas Barely Mess to Message, there's an amazing talk that goes through this entire thing that I've been known for now. Tony Robbins, when he had his big launch with Tony and Dean and Russell, Russell brought it up in front of 280,000 people and quoted me, turning your mess into your message. And I spoke on Funnel Hacking Live stage about it in front of 5,000. It was phenomenal. Yet this was a huge thing that built my business. I don't want to get into it. So they go to YouTube, Nicholas Barely Mess to Message. So inside of that though, I remember being in this place. Imagine I'm 150 pounds at this point. So I'm not fit, maybe 140. I'm not like buff. I don't have Mr. Olympia. I'm not a nutritionist. I haven't got my personal training certificate. I don't have all these different neuroscience, blah, blah, blahs. I'm a kid who lost 60 pounds that started telling his story, which started relating with people. Inside of that, I built a small audience of people that trusted me because I went through similar problems as them. I wasn't just genetically gifted, but I couldn't just take pictures of my abs or my arms and get clients. I wasn't the billboard for fitness. Yet inside of that, I built a company that was getting $5,000, $7,500, $12,500 clients to transform their body. And they were paying me rather than paying Mr. Olympia $37 for all of his best plans in the world. Why is that? It's because, again, I went out there and marketed it differently and was able to be a kid who was not special, who was able to corner the market and built a multiple six-figure business in just the health arena when I wasn't a health expert. I had just had an experience that I had overcome. And because I marketed it better and marketed it differently in a way that had not been done yet, I was able to take a corner of the market and do what most of these guys with huge followings, with huge amounts of, you know, all these things hanging on their walls and all this different crap. And I was able to help actually get the results that they wanted, yet I was not the very best. I was not the most decorated. I didn't have all the different degrees that people think. And part of the reason why is because so many people buy from you for two reasons and follow you for these two reasons. Either you're someone they want to be like. So if you got the abs, you got the arms, you got the millions, you got the cars, you got the house, you should have that. Because ultimately, if I was still overweight, not seeing any results, why would anyone listen to me, right? I had had a transformation, but man, it wasn't as good as everyone else, right? There was other people that had made more money, more fit, more degrees, whatever. So you need that side. There's people to this day that say, Nicholas, you hang out with your son, you go to the skate park, you have fun, you got this beautiful house, you're building the studio. People are like, I want to be like that. Totally awesome. But the more important part that no one flexes is someone that they're just like. People follow people that they're just like. They love characters in movies that are just like them. Like, man, like that reminds me of me. And so when you share that part of your story, it allows you to have an opportunity to corner a piece of the market and serve them differently. This is where telling your story, what you've been through, comes into play. Me not making money for 3 years in a business obviously shows that I sucked at business. I wasn't the guy that was like, my very first month, I'm the most gifted marketer in the world. And I made $1 billion in my first month at 17 years old. No, I freaking sucked. And even through sucking, we've now been able to reach millions of guys over this last year. And so people out there that suck and are like, man, I've been failing too. They now want to come and work with me because they know that I'm someone who sucked as well. And I understand their situation and I can now help them get over it. But ultimately, the best singers in the world, do you think Justin Bieber's the best singer? No, dude. He's not the best singer. Like, the best singers aren't the one who get the performances. It's the people that relate to the audience. It's the people that market themselves correctly. It's the people that go out there and they hustle. Those are the people that get the opportunities. You think Dr. Oz is the best doctor? There's way better doctors out there. Yet, ultimately, there's two different phases of this. You want to have great products. You want to be the best at what you do. But ultimately, one, if you're just great at what you do, that's called a technician, right? If you're the best at hanging lights in people's homes, that's amazing. Yet you'll never stop hanging lights in people's homes. It's time to start training other people to be really great and take yourself out of that role and that pride of being the best at hanging lights and teach someone else to be the best at hanging lights. That way you can actually run a business. The second is, man, if people haven't heard of you, they're never going to buy from you. So step number one is no factor. Do they know you? Step number two is, do they like you? And step number three is, do they trust you so they can actually invest money to see a transformation? And at that point, your product matters. But until then, your product does not matter. right? Your testimonials matter. Your case studies matter. But until they know you, like you, trust you, and invest money with you, they've never experienced your product. That's why the product doesn't sell first. When you go on Amazon, you look at the description, you look at the 5-star reviews. You've never seen or tasted or touched the product before in your life, but you buy it based on what the pictures and the descriptions tell you. That's marketing. Then when you get the product, if it doesn't suck, then you're happy. But if the product sucks, you're still screwed. You'll send it back and you think this is a terrible product. So you need all of those things. Yet people think if I just have a great product, everyone will come to me. If you build it, they will come. Absolutely not true.
Awesome, man. So you mentioned Clubhouse in there. Are you spending a lot of time on there?
I'm not, just because, dude, I just don't like investing the time on it. There's lots of people that have invested 12 hours a day. I have a family and a son, and I'm just like, don't really care to. I go back and forth on this all the time. So by the time someone listens to this, I might be the Clubhouse junkie. Who freaking knows? But I have spent a few days on there, and then I literally took like 3 weeks off.
That's basically what I did. I spent 3-4 days kind of around the holidays when I had taken some time for myself, and I was in there watching how people were doing it. I was watching these rooms run for like, there was a room that during that time they ran it for like 14 days straight. And that's nuts to me. I don't know how people are making that much time for it, but I would love to hear your prediction on it, man. Like what do you think is going to happen? Do you think it's going to stick around, or do you think it's just a big hype right now?
Well, either way, it doesn't matter, right? Like it could stick around. It could not. No one really knows that because tons of platforms can have changes and everything like that. What I do know about it is this: right now, it's probably the easiest platform to build a following. Right now, it's probably the best place for someone new or someone who doesn't have a big following to reinvent themselves, because it's a brand new platform. It's a level playing field, and there's spots to be taken. Like I know people that have been on Facebook and Instagram for years, have a small following. I never thought they really did anything great. They're now like the king and queen of freaking Clubhouse, and they're getting leads like crazy. And now it's like, if they're good at what they do, now it's able to shine finally, which is really cool to see. So I feel that if you have a business that can generate leads through Clubhouse, meaning service based, or you can serve the clients that are on there, or it makes sense, you're a coach, speaker, trainer, consultant, etc., then I would say that is, if you don't have anything else better going for you, it might be the best platform in the world right now to generate high quality leads. I've never seen such high quality people in one place on an app at any given time. Yet it is very clicky, and it is very much, to me, kind of self-absorbed. Everyone's like, we're just here to help everyone for 15 hours a day. I'm like, maybe. Or you want to build a really big following and build a business. Like, what's wrong with that? Like, you still got to help people to do that. So there are very interesting intentions. I'm not sure what they are. Yet what I do know is that if you are not blowing up on other platforms and not seeing success with them, I would pretty much ditch all those platforms and give Clubhouse a fat try, especially if you don't already have tons of obligations. And if you're new, or if you want to reinvent yourself, if you've already been crushing it, then maybe Clubhouse might be a distraction. Yet if you're crushing it, you might have the extra time, which is why these people have it, is they already have businesses that have great systems and processes where they can invest the time in Clubhouse if they want to. But definitely try it out. I've had times where I jump on there, I am on there for hours listening, and then I get to say something for 2 minutes and I get 30, 40 Instagram messages. And if I had a business that specifically worked with maybe a service that was applicable to them, it'd be very easy. Yet if I spent time on there, it'd be very profitable. So if that's what people want, dude, better than Instagram, better than TikTok, higher quality, better than Facebook, that's for damn sure. And ultimately it builds these other platforms like Instagram and Twitter, which I don't use Twitter. Yet on Instagram, if you're on Clubhouse and you get 10,000 followers on Clubhouse, you're almost guaranteed that you get a couple thousand followers on Instagram as well. And people try really hard to get followers on Instagram, and they're super high quality people, and they've heard your voice, which is very, very intimate. The only problem is you're also trading time for exposure, right? I can batch out my Instagram content and be like, this is a great month of content. I love what I have to say here. I can't batch out Clubhouse. I have to sit there for hours and hours, or host my own room, do all these different things that are maybe uncomfortable. Yeah, again, man, if it creates results, then go do it.
Absolutely, man. So honestly, you've just dropped so many bombs in the last hour. And so I got to ask, what is the best way for people to see more of you and get involved with you, my man?
So I wrote a book called Modern Day Businessman, became a bestseller. And I made it a mission. I said, all these people have like free plus shipping books. And think about this. I've invested over 300K in the mentors that I learned from that I literally dropped inside of that book, like the best things that I learned from them. People have invested millions of dollars, but $20,000, $50,000 to learn from us. And I literally dropped the best things in the book. So if there's a man out there that owns a business, I don't even want you to go buy it. I don't even want you to get it for free in a virtual copy. I want to actually give them a free copy of the physical book. The way that I do that is inside of the Billion Dollar Brotherhood Facebook group. Legitimately, they just watch 5 videos. It basically just shows them what we're all about. Make sure they get the most out of the community. I actually pay for the shipping. I pay for everything. So Billion Dollar Brotherhood Facebook group. Just say you came from this pod or from the show. And ultimately, then we ship out the book free of charge, a little gift. It's freaking amazing. We have other things inside that we throw in. It's really, really cool. So that's number one. Second one is Instagram. You've said that's been a huge focus of mine over the last few years. And I would love to know, what was a takeaway you had? It's Nicholas Bailey on Instagram. Would love to answer maybe more in-depth questions that are more contextual to you specifically.
If you learned anything from this show, make sure you leave a review and check out the description to join our community and grab some free resources. And make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode of Virtually Limitless.